That was great. Thanks, David. Good morning. Well, thanks for waking up with Lord of Life today. I'm Pastor Joel. Welcome to worship, whether you're here in the sanctuary or worshiping online. And it should be noted, for some reason, I don't know why, we have a marked increase in the number of worshipers joining us from Florida and Arizona. I don't know. We continue today our journey through the story. We're hearing the story and using the story as our condensed chronological Bible. And we will be hearing from the chapter. It's chapter 14, if you're following along, reading along, called A Kingdom Torn in Two. So plenty of political intrigue in these weeks in our journey through the story. Also, as a part of worship today, we will be celebrating Holy Communion. Now, for those of you who are guests, whether you're, again, in the sanctuary or at home, thank you for making this worship experience a part of your day. And I do want you to know that Holy Communion here at Lord of Life is a gift of God's grace, and you are welcome to receive it. So if you are at home, feel free to get your bread and wine or grape juice ready. In the sanctuary, when it comes time, you will be invited to the front of the worship space, and a communion server will offer you a wafer of bread. You'll receive the wafer and then dip it into either the red wine or the white grape juice that's in the divided chalice that the server will be holding, and you consume the wafer at that time. We also have gluten-free wafers available, as well as prepackaged cups with the wafer and grape juice all sealed up. If either of those is your preference, please let your communion server know, and they will provide what you need. Just a couple other notes, some bullet points especially, just to point you to some things that are coming up in the life of the congregation, and then to let you know where to go to look for more. So Connect Life is coming up. That's a monthly gathering. It's focusing for people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s to talk about matters of faith and community. Lordoflife.org/connectlife is where you go. You'll notice a theme. If you go to the website, that's where we host everything that's going on. A couple service opportunities to highlight as well. One is with our the breakfast that we prepare and then share at Sharing and Caring Hands, and you can learn more about what that is and how to get involved, again, on the website. And then also there are plenty of service opportunities with our ministry partner in North Minneapolis, Gethsemane Lutheran Church, both with their clothing store and their food market. A really important, life-giving, fun ministries where you can serve, where you can donate. So much to do. And again, lordoflife.org is where you can go to learn more about those opportunities, to register for those, to see what's coming for the summer, and so much more. One other note for those of you who are Lord of Life members, our January congregational meeting will be on January 22nd at noon, so you are invited and encouraged to be a part of that meeting. Some words of thanks today. Thanks to David and Anne for leading our music. We're in your very good hands today. Thanks to my colleagues, Pastor Dave and Pastor Caitlin, for leading worship today. Thanks to everyone who's serving behind the scenes. Thanks again to you, and thanks be to God for the gift of community and the gift of the good news of Jesus Christ. So let's stand together as we're able, and let's sing.
Like you. the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Gracious Lord,
pray. God who seeks mercy and love, we join together in worship and praise your name. Sometimes life feels confusing and the future is perplexing. Grant patience, insight, and faithfulness to follow in your ways, especially when temptation lurks around the corner. In the name of Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated.
Soft mist is rising, new dawn is breaking, God comes with sunrise to banish the gray, birds greet the at work and at play. Christ today.
Today's first reading is Psalm 42. We will read it responsively. As a deer longs for flowing streams, so my soul longs for you, O God. My tears have been my food day and night, while people say to me continually, "Where is your God?" Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise him, my help. Deep calls to deep at the thunder of your cataracts. All your waves and your billows have gone over me. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I walk about mournfully because the enemy oppresses me? Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me?
Thanks, Alana. Our second reading today is from 1 Kings chapter 12. And just to set the scene for what's going on, King Solomon had died and his son Rehoboam was ascending to the throne. And so the people who lived in the northern kingdom, who were led by Jeroboam, they wanted to know if Rehoboam would continue his father's oppressive policies of forced labor or not. So our reading from 1 Kings chapter 12. Rehoboam went to Shechem, for all Israel had come to Shechem to make him king. When Jeroboam, son of Nebat, heard of it, for he was still in Egypt, where he had fled from King Solomon, then Jeroboam returned from Egypt. And they sent and called him, and Jeroboam and all the assembly of Israel came and said to Rehoboam, "Your father made our yoke heavy. Now, therefore, lighten the hard service of your father and his heavy yoke that he placed on us, and we will serve you." He said to them, "Go away for 3 days, then come again to me." So the people went away. Then King Rehoboam took counsel with the older men who had attended his father Solomon while he was still alive, saying, "How do you advise me to answer this people?" They answered him, "If you will be a servant to this people today and serve them and speak good words to them when you answer them, then they will be your servants forever." But he disregarded the advice that the older men gave him and consulted with the young men who had grown up with him and now attended him. He said to them, "What do you advise that we answer this people who have said to me, 'Lighten the yoke that your father put on us'?" The young men who had grown up with Rehoboam said to him, "Thus you should say to this people who spoke to you, 'Your father made our yoke heavy, but you must lighten it for us.' Thus you should say to them, My little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We'll get to it. But first, a researcher from the University of Calgary named Paul Ferry recently shared a number of predictions that he found that were made in the year 1923 about what life would look like in the year 2023. So, here are a handful of looks into the far-flung future year of 2023. First, no more hard work by 2023. Dr. Charles P. Steinmetz, the electrical expert, believes that the time is coming when there will be no long drudgery and that people will toil not more than 4 hours a day owing to the work of electricity. He visualizes an amazing transformation of life in 2023. Every city will be a spotless town. That is to be the work of electricity also. All right. Must be noted, electricity could not be reached for comment on its apparent failure to bring the 4-hour workday and spotless towns to fruition. So another prediction. The headline is, we should worry. I hope you're ready to clutch your pearls. Good night. It is now predicted that by the year 2023, only a mere little stretch of a century ahead, women will probably be shaving their heads, and the men will be wearing curls. Also, the maidens may pronounce it the height of style in personal primping to blacken their teeth. Won't we be pretty? Asked the Savannah News. I gotta tell you, the year's young. Fashion changes fast. There's still some room for that teeth blackening thing to happen. Well, here's an optimistic one. Fewer doctors and present diseases unknown. All people beautiful. Not quite sure how those two are connected, but the article says, beauty contests will be unnecessary as there will be so many beautiful people that it will be almost impossible to select winners. The same will apply to baby contests. So maybe this is just the prediction of the invention of photo filters on social media. I don't know. And yes, just so you know, I believe you're all beautiful, so that one's good. Now, and this one is pretty straightforward. By 2023, the average life of man could be increased to 100 years. In individual cases, it could be increased to 150, perhaps 200 years. Yeah, exactly. I checked, the average life expectancy in the U.S. is currently 76.4 years. I have met some centenarians. I'm not quite sure any of us would really want to reach 150 or 200 years old. And just one more. By 2023, there will be no mail between New York and San Francisco. This may just be a commentary on the Postal Service, I don't know. Pittsburgh and London concerns will record on talking films, orders from merchants in Peking, and 1,000-mile-an-hour freighters will make deliveries of goods before sunset. Watch-size radio telephones will keep everybody in communication with the ends of the earth. All right, that last sentence, completely accurate, great prediction, no notes. Still, predicting the future is really hard to do. But I'd guess that having the job of predicting life 100 years from now, that seems like a job I want. Since none of us around today are going to be able to tell if we're accurate or not unless that life expectancy prediction eventually comes true. So I don't know. I do not know what the year 2123 will hold. I can barely imagine what the year 2023 will hold, even as we're here living in it. But I would venture to guess that each one of us, at one point or another, we've all asked the question, what does the future hold? It's a legitimate question. It's an honest question. We wonder, what does the future hold? It should be noted, this isn't a new question either. What does the future hold? It's exactly the question that the people of the northern tribes were asking Rehoboam in the south as he was becoming king. Would Rehoboam continue his father Solomon's policies of forced labor? Or would Rehoboam be more lenient and humane, showing a measure of kindness and grace to the people, something that his father did not do? What would a future reign of Rehoboam hold? That was their question. The elders who had served during Solomon's reign and who had seen the troubles brewing because of Solomon's acquisitive imperial aspirations, well, they advocated that Rehoboam listen to the people and respond with grace. That would lead to a mutually beneficial reign for Rehoboam and a better life for all the people, they advised. Rehoboam didn't like that one. So, as we heard, he went to his buddies, his peers, the guys who were on his lacrosse team in high school. They suggested a different approach. They encouraged Rehoboam to tell the people, very graphically, I might add, my little finger is thicker than my father's loins. Seriously, nothing? It's in the Bible. Anyway, it's graphic. Gross. Now, whereas my father laid on you a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. My father disciplined you with whips, but I will discipline you with scorpions. So the message is that Rehoboam will rock you like a hurricane, I suppose. Nothing. All right. Now, these were not quite the concessions for which the people hoped. And so after being told that a future with Rehoboam as their king would be even worse, they rebelled. The northern tribes of Israel broke away from Judah in the south, and a civil war began. Now, it was exactly the sort of future that Samuel had warned the people about decades earlier when they were clamoring for a human king rather than accepting God as their king. They were rejecting God as their king. They really wanted a human king, if you recall, like all the other nations around them. And what Samuel warned them was that human kings take and take and take. That prediction was spot on. And as we read through this chapter of the story, which is aptly titled, A Kingdom Torn in Two, we see the beginning of the parade of kings in the north and in the south, with all of the northern kings being viewed negatively and the vast majority of southern kings being seen the same. Due to the people's idolatry, we hear, due to their decisions not to place God at the very heart of their lives, at the very center of their lives, things did not go well for them. We see that throughout this chapter, and we'll hear about God's response next week as we begin to meet the prophets. For today, however, it's important for us to know that the future changes fast. Rehoboam said no to the people's request, and the unity of Israel was immediately shattered. The future changes fast. On November 14th, my wife Karen was out for a walk run. She slipped on the ice about a mile away from our home and broke her ankle. She had surgery. She's continuing to recover. But our family did not envision the end of last year and the beginning of this year to involve all of that, crutches and scooters and physical therapy, being short a driver, having to accommodate everything that comes with this sort of injury. And we all know those moments when the call comes and everything seems to change. You have your stories. You know what it's like. You know that the future changes fast. Collectively, we experienced this last Monday night, I'd say. Odds are pretty good. You weren't watching the football game between the Buffalo Bills and the Cincinnati Bengals at the time. But the odds are very good that you know exactly what happened to Damar Hamlin, a person you had probably never heard of before this week. After what looked like to be a routine tackle, Damar Hamlin collapsed on the field, immediately received medical attention, including CPR as he had gone into cardiac arrest. An ambulance came onto the field to take him to the hospital. The game was ultimately canceled, and millions of people prayed. Now, reports are encouraging today about his recovery. And it turns out football is of little importance in the midst of a life and death situation. And of course, we continue to hope and pray for his full recovery and for the health and wholeness of all those who are suffering in any way, shape, or form. So yes, the future changes fast, and we cannot predict when or how it will happen. Try as we might, we don't really know what the future holds. But we do know who holds the future. And that's even more important. Because we have this promise of God. God who is both patient and powerful. This God who wants us to be partners to help bring about God's plans for this beloved world. Now, I want to be clear that saying that God holds the future doesn't mean that everything is all scripted out and we're just puppets or something like that. Because God did not make Jeroboam listen to his foolish peers in deciding to make life harder on the people in the north. God did not make my wife Karen fall on the ice. God did not want Damar Hamlin to nearly die on a football field. So yes, we can say that God has plans, and like all good plans, they're flexible and adaptable. Because God's not rigid, but responsive. Remember that just as God worked with the people's desire for a human king, which God did not want, God worked with it. And God works with us and with all of our decisions, the good ones and the bad ones. And God works in and through all of our circumstances, relating to us and consistently inviting us, but never coercing us. God is always inviting us to keep God at the heart, at the very center of our lives. Because when we do that, everything else comes into clearer focus. Truly, that's what we celebrate every Christmas, that God shows up and God shows us just what kind of king God is in Jesus Christ. It's nothing like Rehoboam and his brash and brutal policies. But Christ comes as a servant king to be with us, to love us, to save us. God offers us grace and mercy and compassion. God invites us to live and love by following Christ's lead. God extends forgiveness and gives us hope even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances. So even though we know we can't predict the future, it's still okay to ask, what does the future hold? To wonder about that. Well, the future probably holds some more snow this winter, I'm sorry to say. and it also holds the coming spring. I'm pretty sure the future holds for us good times and hard times, moments of elation and moments of disappointment, unforeseen hardship, surprising grace, and unexpected joy. And this one's not a prediction, but a spoiler. The future holds the God made known in Jesus Christ, who loves us, leads us, and heals us. The future holds this God who holds us through it all. Amen.
Stand as you are able. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Calling God, you speak with power to your people. Open our hearts and minds to the new things you are declaring. Gather us and help us to hear your desire for the beloved community and peace among nations. Equip the baptized for your reconciling and redeeming work. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Renewing God, you provide the waters of the earth, and in Jesus' baptism, you reveal the waters of life. Cleanse and protect oceans, rivers, and watersheds. Bring relief to parched lands and to communities without access to safe water. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Righteous God, you never weary of establishing justice. Increase cooperation and constructive dialogue between nations. Guide local, national, and international authorities to govern with equity, vision, and integrity. We pray for those in military service, for peacemakers, and for our enemies. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Abiding God, your mercy is steadfast. Give sanctuary to people who flee from oppression, war, poverty, and famine. Bridge the divide in relationships experiencing conflict. Strengthen and heal those in need, including Bob Rodenberg and Kathy Schiefelbein. And comfort those who are grieving, especially Ruth Rapaz at the death of her friend and Diane Prietel at the death of her brother. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessing God, as the members of the body of Christ, kindle the gifts of your Spirit in your people. Accompany the newly baptized, especially Caden, baptized this weekend, and inspire wisdom and imagination as we go out into the world in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We bring to you our needs and our hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. And the peace of the Lord be with you always. Please share a sign of peace with one another.
I invite you to be seated. Now, Lord of Life, there are many talented bakers, makers, and decorators. This past December, they came together to raise funds for 17 different ministries through the annual Craft and Bake Sale. We were delighted by a wide array of items and goodies, and the excitement in Fellowship Hall was palpable. There were thousands of dollars raised to go to the benefit of thousands of people. So thank you so much for giving this fun event a meaningful purpose. The offering will now be received in all of the ways listed on the screen, including the passing of the plates here in the sanctuary. If online giving or text to give makes sense for you and your household, please, as an act of worship, take out your phone and feel free to give in those ways. And as always, a profound word of thanks.
To do mighty things.
tarnished gifts you bring, be of service to the
And David, please stand for the offering response. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took the bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Let us pray together the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready and all are welcome. Please be seated.
Lamb of God, you take away the
Please stand as you are able. May the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our children of God, loved beyond measure, sent to serve the world.